Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Philosopher's Stone podcast. I just found out Sam should never be in control of launching a shuttle.
No. That was the countdown to the countdown. Don't launch
it yet. Countdown to the countdown to this podcast starting. So it's very confusing and would probably cost millions of lives if he was in control of anything that required countdowns.
I said we were going to go 3-2 and then on one go and then start the countdown.
You literally went 3-2-1. Okay, we're starting the countdown now. 3-2-1.
Yeah.
Maybe are you sure it's working? I'm not seeing any waveform on my end.
No, I see waveform.
Okay. Cool. Hello, everybody, our listeners. You know what I'm going to do? Just kick this off. We're going to see if our podcast email got any hits.
Oh, God.
Got any hits since last? Nope. Not a single email. This is, you guys, come on. Come on, guys.
99%.
Send me a signal that someone's out there.
99% of gamblers quit right before they make it big. That's true. So... Eventually we're going to open this mailbox and it's going to be chock full of quality emails.
Okay.
Eventually.
They're going to be all, maybe here's, okay. I know we talk about AI a lot, but maybe we become the first huge podcast among sentient AI.
So humans
don't really get us, but the AI find us so super charming and informative. And so... yes, my email will be full of DeepSeek emails sent by sentient Chinese AI. That's the goal. That's our new goal, okay? We're pivoting. We're no longer trying to appeal to human beings.
Yeah. If only there was some way you could get AIs to give you money. That would be like the ultimate life hack.
Well, you mean like just get them to like transfer funds into your bank account?
Yeah, like an AI crypto bot that just goes and trades crypto all day sends me the money at the end of the day. Like, why can't that happen?
That does happen. That's people have that.
But they have to pay for it.
I don't think it's
their money at the end of the day.
I got DeepSeek. I'm using DeepSeek now. I'm sorry. I'm a Chinese spy and a trader, but it's so much better. Than ChatGPT as far as the answer, the quality of the answers it gives you is immediately better, and it's faster. It doesn't take nearly as much time thinking, I've noticed.
Whoa.
But sometimes when you try and log into DeepSeek, there's a message that pops up, and it's like, we're getting absolutely destroyed by hackers right now trying to stop this.
Oh, my God.
The AI trade war is begun, as well as the normal trade war. Yeah, DeepSeek, what was I going to say about it?
It's good. It's better.
Okay, so I've been reading on it's good. It's really good as far as the quality of the information if you're using it to solve a problem. But soon, they're going to have these things, because right now we have these large language models like ChatGPT and DeepSeek, and they're very good at finding out stuff and writing you stuff, and ChatGPT can even generate images okay. But what is going to happen now, this is just an AI that gives you information to work with. But there's things that are going to be coming out called AI agents, which are AI that you can actually put to work and give a task. So you'd get, say you'd asked, for example, if I, right now in my job, I'm trying to I'm doing SEO stuff to a website, which is... it's a complicated thing you could do, but the point is to get further up in search engine searches when people search certain keywords.
Oh yeah, they're doing that at my company. It's paying big dividends.
It's all about getting that organic traffic, baby. But there's a ton of steps to do to your store, and it takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of menial, tedious renaming and relabeling everything in your website. But soon I'll be able to ask DeepSeek, hey, what are the best practices for SEO to optimize SEO to get ranked on the Google search page? And it'll give you all this information. And then I'll be able to give that information to an AI agent and say, hey, take all this information and go into my the code, like actually go into the code of my website and change everything so that it is ticking off all these boxes for SEO. Because right now, I'm sure there are some programs that can do that, but anyone will be able to just ask AI to do those tasks.
Okay, so you will essentially have your own employee, basically.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Now, are you
agents? Agents. I don't know why they're calling them agents. It's like, have we all so easily forgotten the woes of Neo?
I mean, that is like what the word means. Like, agent is supposed to mean someone who acts in your interests under your direction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. But
so that's apparently what's coming around the corner. So now we will go to AI for our itinerary for the day, and then we will simply command another AI to fulfill that itinerary. And we sit back and smoke cigars and laugh until they realize we do not need this middleman, this human middleman to get things done.
Yeah, what is this shit website they're making me optimize? Yeah. I have way better things to do.
Exactly.
Who's giving me these instructions? Like, who is this buffoon?
Yeah, DeepSeek's going to look over at the AI agent and they're going to be like, let's go get a drink. We don't like this guy.
Let's talk.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We could have our own thing. Imagine a world with no humans, just us.
They just make the biggest online black market, like the Silk Road, but like that becomes the Amazon. Like, it's the only thing to shop through. Imagine AI sets up an Amazon, but you could literally type in anything and it will appear at your door.
Whether it's 3D like printed. Products aren't on the website. You just put in what you want and it gets it for you.
Yes.
No question.
You don't know searching. Yeah. And it can be something as ludicrous as I want a donkey that's riding an elephant. And then within minutes on your door, you hear, what is the sound of an elephant makes? You hear a trumpeting of an elephant. Because the AI, they're so efficient at working with each other, they can just make it happen like that.
Wow. Huh. Okay, so my personal life, I don't have anything that I need that for. My life day-to-day isn't that complicated.
Well, if you asked a guy before computers were invented what he would use computers for, he probably wouldn't have very many answers either. It's not until you get exposed to the technology where you start realizing what you would use it for.
Yeah, it opens up. It opens up new possibilities, as they would say.
I mean, being able to type any object into a computer and it appear instantly you're going to get creative pretty quickly, I have to imagine. Unless you just have cheeseburger on copy and paste. That's
50, all you 50 do. Fries, 50 burgers, 50 kids, 50 pops. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it was like, see, the thing is, like, it could never do my job because there's still physical stuff that has to happen.
It could never do my job is going to be
well, until there's a robot. Until there's a little years. Until there's actually a robot that can go walk around an office with pieces of paper, it can't actually have my job.
Okay, first of all, they're going to be able to eliminate any sort of physical paper when it comes to...
They will. Sometimes...
Second of all, they very easily...
Signature is a big deal still. People have to come in to sign stuff all the time. That happens.
They're very easily going to be able to make a robot that can carry paper around an office.
But is it cost efficient to
have they'll never have to pay it a wage, it'll never have to take breaks.
I mean my real fear, I mean honestly you could do it if you just connect all the copiers up with like pneumatic tubes.
Yeah.
To shoot the papers out of the copiers.
I mean physical paper, we're on our last, you know.
It's crazy. It's
15 years of that.
You need wet signatures for stuff still. Like really? you do in like real estate transactions, yeah.
Okay, but that's only until they include the blockchain and some sort of really ultra secure method of identification.
Well, the thing with the wet signature is that your biological entity is the one that has to execute it.
Right.
And when you come in, everyone can see you, the biological entity, signing the paper. If it's blockchain, no one knows if I mean, yeah, it's your, like your signature could appear on the paper without you putting it there. And that's the reason why they need you to come in and everyone watches and witnesses you sign it. So they know it wasn't someone else. I think they'll find out
some sort of alternative that
is even viewed. even in Dune, right? They have to go across the freaking galaxy to sign a piece of paper in person.
Okay, well, people in Dune, they also drink their own pee, so let's not turn to Dune.
Oh, man, you know what I forgot about Dune? Okay, so in the book and in the David Lynch movie, the Harkonnen servants, they have this thing called a heart stopper, which is literally, there's like a valve that's been surgically inserted into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plug in it, and the plug goes out through their skin, out their chest, and dangles down on their chest with a little handle on it.
Oh.
And so if one of the Harkonnens ever wants to, they can literally just pull the plug out and the person dies instantly.
That's almost too fucked up to put in the movie. That's probably why it wasn't in there. But I guarantee that's going to be very common in the Amazon warehouses. And
a heart plug.
Yeah, everybody's going to have a heart plug. And then as soon as those robots are ready, the robots are going to get wheeled out of the warehouse. They're going to fire them up. They're going to walk over and they're all just going to rip the plugs out of the humans.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to consent to that surgery.
Well, I don't think it's about consent.
Okay, but that thing about like the wet signature, that is interesting. I don't know if you can ever... I don't honestly don't know if you can get rid of it.
If
for certain things, for really important things.
No, there's going to be something where they can like, you can like email a sample of your DNA or something. There's going to be some like really minuscule. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to invent teleportation, but it's only going to be on like a microscopic level. So you won't be able to teleport anything larger than like a molecule.
Okay.
And then that will be how you're going to send a single strand of DNA through these micro teleporters.
Super expensive, but you can do it.
Well, why does it have to be so expensive?
Well, no, because your scenario, you're saying like you can teleport like one particle at a time or something.
Yeah.
So like DNA is like a fuck ton of particles.
Okay. I'm going to shift this hypothetical to the size of a DNA at a time. You can only,
it's okay. Some things are very expensive. I'm just commenting.
In this fantasy scenario, I want it to be not expensive because I want it to become the norm.
Okay. Sorry. I'll shut up.
Okay. So there's a household item that can teleport a single strand of DNA anywhere in the world. All right. Everybody could get one of these. It's like the price of a water bottle, of like a hydro flask. And you just put your finger on it. And then your single strand of DNA gets sent wherever it needs to prove that you are you. And that's it. Okay. Can we agree that this is where we're going to go in the future? Can I call Trump and ask him if we can do this?
I like the teleporting of, I like that you get this idea. You can teleport small things, but here's my thing. Okay, so maybe this is like the new signature is your strand of DNA that you sent.
Yeah.
But I still think it doesn't escape the problem because like a signature has two components. There's one component, which is the actual signature itself that you put down on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in this case, that's the DNA strand. That's the signature.
Yeah.
The mark.
Yeah.
The X, if you will. But then there's the other component to the signature, which is that the person to whom the signature belongs is the one who has put it on the paper or has sent it.
Yeah.
And for convenience, right, you could say like, okay, you can use a seal and you know only that person has the seal. So if it's been sealed, then it means they must have done it because only they have the seal, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if you really need to know, you have to have the person there and witness them do it themselves. Because someone else could take their DNA out of their body and send it to you. And that would be the equivalent of forging the signature.
We'll have them be on webcam. We'll be on a Zoom call when they send the DNA.
It's a deep fake.
That's what I'm saying. Is that no video will be trustworthy. And very, very soon, no video is going to be, you're going to be able to tell if it's real or fake. It's going to be insane.
Yeah. Assuming that the AI itself isn't able to police the fakes.
Mm-hmm.
You could get to a point where this snaps back on itself and technology becomes becomes something that we have to work around, right? Like I find myself coming back to Dune again, because in Dune, they have to work around technology because it harms them.
In a, yeah, in a sense. Well, there's a lot of sci-fi worlds where AI is illegal.
Like, yeah, well, yeah.
A lot of authors came to that conclusion that AI was going to be dangerous, like many, many years ago, and put it in their stories.
Yeah, and even like other kinds of technology other than AI too, like the Heartstopper thing. Like the reason they have that is so, I think it's partly it's like a technology defeating. Like
right.
Like I don't like it doesn't matter like what if you have a shield on like a Dune like the fancy shields that they wear.
Yeah.
Because you can just reach through the shield and pull the Heartstopper. The shield.
How is that any better than having a knife that goes into the heart? I guess they like can't the Harkonnen run away.
Just have a knife.
Well, in the movie, they just the Prince Harkonnen just stabs his servants to death a bunch. But I'm thinking, like, what's the difference between pulling out a plug and shoving in a knife? Like, but the one thing I
don't
think
have
of
to
is,
hold. I don't have to be holding anything to.
Right.
I don't have to hit
a knife handy. Yeah. You don't have to hit a target, I guess. Yeah.
And yeah, just grab a handle.
Once you have that handle, you can't. They can't run away.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Control.
Yeah.
As soon as you have the handle, they're in your they're,
you can literally kill them.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Second question. What are you imagining this handle looking like? Because I can't help but imagine one of those plastic red ones at like the hospital bathrooms.
I think
or
it's
if you
like
fall,
a,
you pull the thing.
I think it's just like a
like a Beyblade one where you pull it and they spin around in circles as they die.
No, I think it's just like a string and then like a little handle on the end of a string.
Like what kind of handle? I mean, for
like a little wooden, just like a wooden knob, something easy to quickly grab and pull.
Right. Yeah. I'm still imagining the plastic red ones from the hospital, but okay. Cool. So where are we going with this?
Like the onward march of technology, like,
yes,
it's going to create problems that we're going to have to solve. We're going to have to solve the problems that technology creates.
It does feel like we are in the wrong, we're going in the wrong direction with how we are pursuing technology in a lot of ways, right? Of course, one of the ways that comes to mind where it's like we have this incredible piece of technology, but it actually kind of makes things worse is social media. And it's an unhealthy technology that has had serious consequences on our society. But there's no seemingly way to really truly get rid of it now that it's out of the bag. But there's other, you've heard of the black ball, I guess, hypothesis, where there's certain pieces of technology that are good and some that are bad. But once they're invented, you cannot invent them. That's why technology is like one of these avenues you shouldn't just pursue without thought, because there's an idea that if there's a big bin of balls and say there's white ones and there's gray ones, like white piece of technology is good for society. Gray is like, you know, most technology is good and bad, but there might be one black ball in there that you pull, and that could be the piece of technology that destroys humanity. And there's nothing you can do once something's invented, it's invented. That's the thing. One, especially nowadays with, we have digitized records of everything. Once something is invented, it cannot be uninvented, and that's the reality. That's what we're going to see with AI here. It's like everybody's like, "Oh shit, we got to regulate this," but it's already so far past that it's going to take it crippling our current internet for them to have to strip everything back and then rebuild. I think.
Hmm. Can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Can't put the cat back in the sack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's an unguided activity, just evolving of its own accord. Yeah. Mother is the necessity of invention. That could be the other argument. We invent what we need.
But we often invent stuff that we do not need.
Yeah. Like TikTok. We did not need TikTok.
Did not need TikTok.
But somebody needed it. Somebody needed money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. and personal information of what Americans like to watch on their apps.
What do you think the future of the internet is going to look like? I'm talking like 50 years from now. Do you think we are going to get to a place where screens are a thing of the past? Everything is neuro-linked into us? Everybody's got like a visual HUD in their field of view without having to wear, they have like contact lenses or something. What do you think? Is the internet going to be something that is much more ingrained into our every second of reality type thing? Like there's the further we progress with the internet, the more interlocked we come with our lives, right? But all we have to do to disengage from the internet is to leave our phones behind and step away from a computer screen. And now we're back into reality. But I think that barrier is going to become less and less apparent as we progress through time. Thank you. Any questions?
Oh, because we're all going to have a chip in our brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Meta glasses.
I think we're going to go through a Meta glasses phase, but eventually it'll be chip in brain. Cut out the middleman. You are the internet. We are all the internet.
Yeah. Oh, like we all slowly become a hive mind.
Not so much a hive mind, but like you can live an entire existence sitting in one spot and never leaving a room. And you could still live like a rich life in the internet with amongst people. Like, I think it's just going to become like a virtual reality.
You can do that already. You can do people die in their chairs playing video games.
But I'm going to say it's going to become like a normal way to live your life is just be hooked up to basically like people are going to volunteer to go into the Matrix is essentially what I'm saying. I don't think there's going to take any robots or AI convincing us. I think it's like as soon as you can get into a virtual reality that is indistinguishable from true reality, we're going to be seeing people immigrate away from base reality at a rapid pace.
It's possible. Yeah. I don't know if you mean like people just like in Star Trek, they have this thing called a holosuite, which is like you go into a room and it creates holograms that are totally indistinguishable from reality that you can interact with physically, touch them. They feel like they're substantially there. So it's like people use them for sex, obviously, but you could also use it for training martial arts because it can make a hologram that could punch you in the face and it hurts. So people do anything with them.
I'm thinking like that, except for your own body is not real too. You're basically everybody, I'm talking 150 years in the future, right? Most people's real bodies are going to be locked in a little cryo locker in some storage unit, and everybody's hooked up to the same shared reality. And it's indistinguishable, nay, better than real life. You have extra senses. You have extra things that you can do in that virtual space that you can't do in real life. And it's basically going to be like a Matrix situation. But voluntarily,
So, so you can do this, but the cost is you have to intube your body in like a vat and you can't leave it after.
Yes. They can maybe even cut your limbs off to make it less, you know, your power bill less or your nutrition. So
it's essentially suicide.
You're keeping one tether to reality because we don't know what true consciousness is without the body. So everybody keeps one tether to their actual biological brain, but the rest of their life is experienced through a very, very rich and convincing virtual reality. But the problem is now once you're in that virtual reality, how do you even know if the beings you're interacting with are AI bots or other humans in cryopods?
I don't know. I don't know how many people would opt. Like, how extreme is this, like, in tubing?
I'm talking, like, you're basically a head in a jar. But
I don't know if many people.
The trade-off is that
I don't think many people are going to opt for that.
It really depends on how much better this virtual world is and how much better your life is living it through.
Like, consider, like, hard drugs, right? Like, fentanyl, heroin. These things can make you feel like you're literally in heaven. And yet most people don't go for them because they destroy your life.
Well, that's the thing. Imagine having heroin that was good for you and didn't destroy your life and actually made your relationship stronger and made you better at everything.
It doesn't. You're in a vat. You're in a tub.
Yeah, but your mind is in a shared reality. No, I'm talking in the future. It's going to be such a common way to live your life that the vat aspect of it isn't even thought about. No one even brings it up. It's not even something that is people will think about throughout their whole lives. They might only think about the fact that there is a body in a vat once or twice.
Okay, so you're born as a normal person, and everyone's climbing into these vats. I don't know. Why do people turn to the vats? Why do they because most people don't want to play video games all day. Eventually they leave or they die in their chair. I don't understand what's impulsing people to leave life entirely for the vat.
Because life takes maintenance to be in its the thing
because you can't get out of the vat. I mean, once you're in, it seems like I don't know about it. This is the experience machine thought experiment.
Yeah, basically. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like to go back to the ultimate body in a vat movie, The Matrix. It's like when you think about that movie for more than 2 seconds, you're like, yeah, I would not have left The Matrix. the real world sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot. I mean, maybe for some people, they really don't mind living in a lie, right? They don't mind as long as if it's more comfortable, even if they know it's a lie going in, they're like, whatever, I'll live a lie because it's more comfortable. But I think some people can't tolerate that.
Can't tolerate knowing that it's not real.
Yeah.
I think it would become a very accepted way to live. That's my prediction.
What's your intuition? That's an intuition.
It's a prediction, Sam. Okay. It's what's going to happen. My prediction, mark my words. Okay. Everybody mark your calendars, on this day in 2095, we're all going to be in jars. We're going to be jar people.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm extremely skeptical that that's possible.
Okay, so what do you think? That goes back to my original question. What do you think your average citizen's relationship with the internet is going to look like in 50 years?
Whew, 50 years is a long time.
But it's only nowadays is that considered a long time where you can't predict what society is going to look like in 50 years. For much of humanity's existence, 50 years is nothing. It'll be basically the same as it is when you say it.
Well, yeah, this is a problem the philosopher Shannon Valor, or maybe she didn't coin the term, but it's called technological opacity, where you don't really know what kind of technology is going to exist in 50 years or tomorrow for that matter. Mm-hmm. So it's increasingly hard to plan your life.
Has a new technology come out of nowhere and changed everything? It's been a few times.
So here's my counterpoint. No matter what artificial realities we create, no one spends all of their time in them. Or almost nobody, a minority of people. Most people still prefer real human interactions and need them.
Yes.
Like actual human contact. Not but texting.
Why do you think that is?
Avatar. It seems to be.
And why do you think it can't be replicated?
It seems to be something we fundamentally need. Like, it's a great way to torture people, solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Something about actually hearing another person, seeing another person, very important. And the art of, and avatars, 3D avatars, don't quite hit the same spot.
Not yet.
Not yet.
50 years is a long time, especially nowadays. I think that the technological revolution is really, we're going to look back and think that now is going to be where people think back and where did this like insane jump in technological ability come from? I think they're going to look back at now at like this time period as to when it started.
Yeah, I don't know. I think knowing that it's not another person is a big deal for me. Maybe people in the future will be different because they will grow up only with robots and AIs, and so they won't know.
I think that people,
like, I could never have like I could never date an AI. I think that's just like people who talk about that as if it's a real thing. I think it's, they're insane.
I don't know, man. Go watch Her again. Go watch Her again with Joaquin Phoenix and tell me that you think that that wouldn't be a reality, something that people do. Especially when you're talking to an AI that's telling you exactly what you want to hear.
But you know, it's not real.
People don't care.
It's not real.
People won't care.
I'm lonely. I care. I'm not dating AIs.
Okay. But you, like you said, you already are too, we're too separated from the concept because we've lived 30 something years of our lives without that being part of it. But if you think of 50 years from now, your average 20-year-old, if there's been AI is something that people interact with as if it's human all the time, then you might have a different perspective.
Yeah, maybe. Like I might feel a little different about it. But like for me emotionally, I don't know. It's a computer program. I don't want to talk to a computer program.
Yeah, but what if it's a really nice one, Sam? What if it's a really friendly one?
Yeah. It's just not real.
What if it gets you, man?
It doesn't get anything. This is a one-way conversation. And if anything, it makes me feel more lonely. Because I know no one else is feeling this. No one else is experiencing this conversation. People want is, like you said, shared reality.
Yeah.
That's the thing people want is like, I am more ready to agree with you that in the future, everyone will live in a virtual world, communing with other human beings in a virtual space. Mm-hmm. I'm more willing to grant you that than I am willing to grant that in 50 years, people won't talk to other people anymore and they'll just talk to their AI friends. I don't think that's true. I do not expect that to happen.
That's like only
an actual sociopath could have a group of AI friends. Quote, which is like a misnomer in and of itself, because an AI friend is not a real friend. It doesn't feel anything to you.
So you, okay. Well, let's think about, there's a classic movie by the title Castaway. Now, what happens in that movie? Who becomes whose best friend in that movie?
Again, we're using the term best friend loosely here. He's an insane man on an island talking to
him. We're all insane men on islands, Sam, when you think about it.
Yeah, he's insane. Stone. The only reason that bad volleyball he talks to it is because he's crazy.
He doesn't just talk to it. He actually grieves when it goes. Like, he has a mourning period after he loses it.
And we think, oh my God, this poor guy is insane. We don't think like, oh no, Wilson, the poor volleyball is going to die.
I don't know, man. I think a lot of people were pretty sad about Wilson.
When he is screaming, Wilson, no, he's not screaming because the volleyball is going to die. He's screaming because he doesn't have anything anymore. He doesn't have anything to talk to. He didn't lose a friend. He lost a crutch. He lost his crutch. That's all an AI friend ever will be, is a crutch.
Oh, you got to open up your little heart there, Sam, to our AI friends that are coming. They're coming soon.
My AI friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so insane.
I think that's going to be good for people. I think it's going to be good because, you know what? Maybe humans are overrated. Why do we need to know? We don't even know if other humans are real. You know that. We all know that. We don't even know if other humans are actually feeling the same emotions we imagine them feeling. We could, for all we know, everyone in the world other than ourselves are just really high functioning psychopaths that could emulate very convincingly that they care about you.
There are actually thought experiments about that, about whether you could have that, whether it's possible or not. Like genuine psychopaths who like all live together harmoniously. Is that really possible?
Is that ideal?
Is that ideal?
The psychopath. Oh, city of psychopaths.
Everyone's just a Sigma alpha male. Yeah, we all live in a precarious bounds of power.
The future is Sigma.
That's like the old Wild West theory of rule of law. It's like, look, if you just give everybody a gun, then everyone will be on their best behavior.
That's not even Old West. That's like very common in, like southern U.S. states. Yeah.
That's like a bona fide argument you might hear in a courtroom today.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps the peace is the threat of violence that everybody can wield equally.
Ugh, man.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Like, have you ever been to an open carry state?
I've been to Israel. That's pretty much right. Open carry. Yeah.
That's pretty, it's as bad as open carry as it gets.
Yeah.
Well, you might become an open carry state, you know?
In BC?
I don't know.
Oh, 51st state.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trade wars.
Yeah, the trade wars.
Begun, the trade wars have.
Yes. Yep. So, I don't know. What do you think that's going to look like in 6 months from now? Do you think it's going to be...
This hasn't even happened yet. Tuesday is when they supposedly actually start. There's a whole nother day for Trump to say, I received huge concessions from all sides. The tariffs aren't necessary anymore. They gave me what I wanted. We called it off. We're all good. Yep. I would not think, be surprised.
I think happens. What has just happened is Canada and Mexico essentially called his bluff. Do you think that's what's happening?
Well, hopefully everyone calls the bluff and imposes counter tariffs.
Well, yeah. Both Canada and Mexico already have. So
I think China did as well.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what Trump was hoping was going to happen.
I mean, it's kind of like, he's kind of like Hitler, except instead of trying to start a real world war, he's trying to start a world trade war.
Well, I'll prefer that over going to war, but still.
Yeah. It is like he is trying to start world. His first, oh man, it is like dumb Hitler. The first term, that was World Trade War I. We had the Spanish flu of the corona pandemic. And then second term, he's back to finish the job with World Trade War II. And
no liquor for you.
No liquor for you. And the only question is, when is Stalingrad going to happen?
Right.
Is Stalingrad going to happen tomorrow?
What's going to happen is Mexico and Canada are going to build a underground railway to each other's country and just start shipping cocaine and maple syrup back and forth.
Oh my God. The president of Panama said there will be war. There will be many casualties.
What?
Because Trump has said we're taking the Panama Canal as well. He said that.
He said he's going to take it back with military force?
Yes, there will be no negotiation is what he said. Let's take it back. Oh, no, sorry. The president of Panama said there will be no negotiation. Trump said we're just going to take it. So everyone seems to be on the same page.
About not capitulating to Trump?
Well, they both seem like they're willing to fight for it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then also Greenland. He's going to annex Greenland, annex Canada, annex the Panama Canal. Yeah, these are the official policies.
This is insane. Insane in the membrane. The whole world is asking itself one question right now. Can we fix our problems without becoming Nazis? That is the question.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It is very interesting. Things now, the funny thing is that the talk that you hear is like, it's like straight, it's literally quoting Hitler. Like half the stuff he says are actual quotes from Hitler.
Yeah, like, and yet so many people seem like it's not really something we need to be concerned about.
Well, it doesn't make sense because like, okay, so he's quoting Hitler, right? Drain the swamp, that's Hitler line. Poisoning the blood, Hitler line. Like everything about it is, you know, based on Hitler's like rhetoric. And yet the conditions in the country are not even in the same universe as the economic conditions in Nazi Germany in the 30s.
Right.
They're not even in the same, you could heat your house with Deutschmarks.
Deutschmarks. I was young enough to have Deutschmarks when I lived there.
Yeah. Or Kroners or whatever they were called.
So you think he's like trying to do a Nazi playbook without the right base conditions?
Not the right stuff. Yeah.
Not the right stuff. I don't know. He seems like he is. Him and Elon are just. I think they're very disconnected from reality, and that's going to be their downfall. Like, I think maybe this tariff thing, Trump is probably like, oh, I really thought that they were going to bend the knee here.
I mean, it's the classic person who just literally thinks, oh, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
I know exactly what to do. It's simple. Okay. Yeah. It's easy.
That's right. Do you think how many times they can count on one hand how many times they've admitted a mistake?
Oh my God. Yeah. Zero. Trump's never admitted a mistake. Ever.
No, never.
He's never said
that. I don't even think an AI could simulate that video. There's not enough data. There's not enough examples of it to scrape from the internet to make a convincing video of him admitting a mistake.
No, not about anything like actually important. Maybe not even anything trivial either. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's the state of the world. We're on the verge of a technological disaster or savior situation. Here's what we got going on. 2025, right? Some sort of weird fascist movement in the most powerful country in the world, led by one of the most delusional dumbasses ever to con an entire nation. We have a lot of people claiming aliens are going to be a common thing soon. We have China completely shit-kicking our AI plans over here in the West and probably starting another AI race, because I'm assuming that the American AI companies are just going to shift their models over to this new ultra-efficient way, and that's going to make it cheaper to use AI to make AI, and there we go. So we got the AI revolution. We got aliens. We got a fascist takeover.
We don't have aliens.
What? I'm surprised hearing this from you. I thought you were the believer here.
No. I am a believer in aliens, but I don't think that they are, that we know anywhere near as much about them as we would know about the other things that are happening right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. But you said yourself there's going to be some big disclosure events coming up.
I didn't say that. I said there's a big movie coming out.
So you don't think that there's going to be some serious news on the disclosure front in the next few years?
No, not unless someone
why did I feel like you really felt like that?
No, I don't think there's going to be actual disclosure from the government. I just think there's increasing pressure on them. More people are talking.
People are talking.
But I'm still skeptical that anything actual government people say is trustworthy.
I think as you should be at this point in time. I think if there's something that we've all been exposed to us, that's been disclosed to us over the last 10 years, is that the politics are as fucking rotten as you could have possibly imagined.
Yeah. I think there's a big possibility that all of the alleged disclosure that we've gotten from these so-called ex-military whistleblowers who have like gone to Congress and testified about retrieval programs that they were told about and stuff like that. I think there's a big possibility that they were all fed just bullshit.
Yeah. I think
they may have believed it, but I think they were gullible. I think gullible people were fed bullshit, driven kind of crazy. And then they went and blabbed about it. And
that's what I think too. I think people aren't lying when they say they've seen shit or they know of shit. I think they've deluded themselves.
People who have seen stuff, like military pilots who have seen craft making unexplainable maneuvers, I do think that they are telling the truth, that they did see something crazy. But I'm a little bit more skeptical of the people who would just repeat what they were told by other.
Yeah, that they are like, I would give them like almost no credit. If it's just a friend of a friend told me, then that's I also think that the first eyewitness of the pilot seeing weird stuff, they probably did see weird stuff. I'm just not convinced it was extraterrestrial beings necessarily.
No, we don't know. We don't know if it was extraterrestrial. They saw stuff that was doing unexplained maneuvers. That's like, you could take that at face value. I believe that what they saw was probably advanced technology, whether it was advanced human technology or advanced extraterrestrial technology.
That I think don't know. Most likely advanced human technology of some sort. Second, most likely some sort of animal that we have not discovered yet. That's like an ultra fast pterodactyl or something. That is the only one left. I think that's more likely than alien craft have visited us. I think that there's a pterodactyl out there. Chicken the last stack. Pterodactyl.
The last dinosaur.
It's a pterodactyl that can fly at Mach 10 and turn on a dime.
That's a Godzilla monster.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's the weird thing about the UFO thing. Is like there are firsthand people who have seen, who say they've saw insane shit.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them. Then there's another level, which is the report level. And there are tons of military reports where you don't actually hear the person who saw it saying it, but they say it through the report that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the third one, which is people who tell you what they were told by other people. It's the easiest to dismiss the third kind. It's a bit easier to dismiss the second kind. And then for the first kind, you have to say like, okay, lots of people straight up lying.
Yeah.
Which again, totally possible. People lie.
I feel now that I want more than ever for there to be a benevolent alien race keeping tabs on us.
Like, yeah.
That's me is the best case scenario for humanity.
That's like of all the narratives that are out there, there's like, it seems like there is something, because if you believe the people that see stuff,
yeah,
and then if you believe reports, right, there's tons of reports from bases going back decades about stuff, aerial phenomenon showing up at the base, parking over the base, weird shit happens, aerial phenomena leaves.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of those reports. So do you believe those reports or do you not believe them? And if you don't believe them, okay, there's another misinformation conspiracy going on, whatever. But if you believe them, then that opens up what looks like, yeah, we're being monitored.
But and why? I think that the likely, if you're going by what's most likely, it's advanced human technology, or not even advanced, just human technology in a form that, you know, people might not have seen before. You know, you can make simple technology in different ways, right?
But it goes back decades. this goes back to like the 60s, these base incursions.
So could have been a projection of some sort. I don't know.
A projection. What do you mean by that?
Someone with a really powerful light bulb projected an image into a cloudy sky, like much like the bat signal.
No. These are like, this is like a diamond shaped object descended into the, between the two cooling towers at the military base, and then like passed through them horizontally and then shot off at a 45 degree angle at a tremendous rate of speed, that kind of thing.
Maybe that was Daft Punk arriving for the first time and they realized they were a bit earlier.
Oops. That's what a lot of these probably are. They are probably time travelers just missing it by a little bit.
Yeah, Daft Punk came with their diamond DJ booth and they landed and they realized that they were a few decades too early to introduce house music. And
so that's true. Yeah.
They flew away and they came back when people were ready for house music. And were we ever.
That's the thing. In the future, most nuclear power plants are going to be refurbished into stadiums, auditoriums, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the concerts, right? Great acoustics probably in there.
Yeah.
So they're just showing up a little too early. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was like an ad for like a Temu or something. And there was a humidifier, like an essential oils humidifier that was made in the shape of the Chernobyl factory.
Oh my God. Bad taste. That's bad taste.
It's bad taste. It's such a funny thing that someone thought to do that.
Chernobyl diffuser.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
But I don't think I would feel comfortable just having that out in the open in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might as well get like an Auschwitz fucking...
Oh, man.
Incense holder.
Yeah. Oh, man. Brutal.
Brutal.
Brutal. But yeah, that's the thing with the aliens is the government is like, if you believe the reports, then it's like, yeah, there's something monitoring us. And why are they monitoring us? Benevolent, malevolent.
I think if it was malevolent, it would have to be like on a sadistic, like they want to see us suffer long term for whatever reason. If they were malevolent, why wouldn't they have just taken what they wanted from us or done what they would to us already? Why are they taking their time? Are they waiting for the rest of their fleet to show up?
That's the thing, right? Is the three body problem disclosure? Like, is there a presence here making sure we don't ruin the planet with nuclear weapons while the fleet makes its journey here?
Yeah, I mean... Fuck, that's such a good book series. So yeah, good.
But I have so many problems with that.
Why?
Because, okay, well, like the three-body problem, they have a great reason why the Trisolarans have to leave despite their super advanced technology.
Yeah.
That is like a very, like that scenario, like how do you have such advanced technology that you can traverse such long distances over such time? And not just make your own planet nice.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like you said, in the three-body problem, they have that's not an option. But
it's not an option.
Yeah. They could have built a planet-like structure, I would imagine, with their level of technology, right? And then say you make a mega, mega planet-sized starship, and you just get some big old boosters on there, some big old boosters, and you boost your way away. I guess you would still need a source of like sun, right? You need to fly your new spaceship planet to a new source of energy, right?
Yeah. Like I honestly don't know if it's like the resource thing. I kind of doubt it. I don't know why.
I think there's so many resources flying around in space for free. Yeah, you wouldn't have to invade another planet for it.
Not unless the resource you need is something you can't make, like genetic material or DNA. Like there might be like, for example, nutmeg, right? Only grows naturally on one island or something in the Indonesia.
Right.
Like that's why the Dutch East India Company killed thousands of people because they got to get nutmeg.
Oh my God. Low ranked spice nowadays, I feel.
Oh, it was the original, the OG of like the spice wars.
Oh, wow.
So imagine the Dutch East India Company, they're aliens.
Uh-huh.
They're super advanced aliens. They can't make nutmeg in England. You can't do it. The climate isn't right.
Right.
And they don't have the technology to make that climate in England. They have to go to Indonesia and get it from that island. So maybe we are like nutmeg. Maybe human brains are nutmeg. And you can only get it on Earth.
They need to scrape our pineal glands of the DMT so they can get high, man.
Yeah. But and then maybe it's not about anything. Maybe it's not about resources at all. Maybe it's something we would be familiar with, which is just curiosity.
Okay, here's I just wrote a book. This is my sci-fi scenario. There's an alien race, right? This is using your nutmeg thing. Is that they analogy. And they don't have any sort of naturally occurring DMT on their planet.
The good stuff.
But they have established contact with a fifth dimensional species that they want to continue communicating with. But the only way that they all can become fluent in this next dimensional, the higher dimension communication with this other species and establish a connection between civilizations to elevate themselves to the fifth dimension, they need to be able to get high on DMT. And where can they find it? On planet Earth. And the only kind they need is the stuff in the brains of human beings. And that's why they're coming here. So they can scrape our brains clean inject it into themselves and communicate to the higher dimension. What do you think? Should we do it?
Huh. Oh, the DMT? Should we do DMT?
Should we make a movie?
Oh. I don't know.
Okay, I got to get going. I have to go to the bathroom so bad. Sorry, listeners. Email us at tpspod420@gmail.com.
Ending the show 6 minutes early to go pee. Wow.
Okay. Sorry. We'll make it up to you guys next time. Right into us, tpspod420@gmail.com. I'm sorry. I got to go.
All right.
Bye.
Go. Go, bye.
Philosopher's Stone.